camels were really important to the economy back then, but you know, I am really pleased with the upgrade we have in the modern world. Semi-trucks. They are so much more efficient than a camel. I appreciate our truck drivers as well. All right. Are we all good to go, Annabelle? Ducks in a row and cords are working right. And all right. So last week we started looking at the book of Ruth. We went through Ruth chapter 1, saw how Ruth was enormously loyal to her mother-in-law to the point of forsaking her own family and her own people and leaving the land of Moab to go back to the land of Israel, to Bethlehem, to help take care of her mother-in-law because her husband had died. They were both widows. Widows back then didn't have the social security advantages that we have today. They didn't have a Medicare program to lean on. So we're gonna see how it is that they made their way in life in those days. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.'" Now, we don't typically go out into the fields and harvest behind a combine. Anybody ever done that in life? As a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old, I once watched a combine harvester harvest a wheat field, but I was not allowed to go in the field after it, even though I'd love to have. I got to ride in the combine a little later, drove around a harvested field. I didn't do any of the driving, of course, I was just a passenger. But what we see here in Ruth chapter 2 is God's ordained food stamp program for the day that Ruth lived in. This actually is drawn right out of the law of Moses, spoken from the word or from the mouth of God himself. In Leviticus 23:22, God specifies that when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God." You know what? Ruth qualified. She was poor and she was a foreigner. Every program has a qualification standing. Ruth was definitely a qualified gleaner. So what they would do is walk behind the harvesters and try to pick up the little strands of barley and wheat that they missed. No harvester is completely 100% efficient. And so what Ruth did that day, she went out to the field behind the harvesters to pick up what was left behind. We see this in verse 3. "So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. And just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you.' 'The Lord bless you,' they answered. And Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, 'Who does that young woman belong to?'" Ever notice when somebody's out of place or you see somebody new and you're like, where do they come from? What's their story? And he knew what she was doing. This was a standard operating procedure, but we don't know how many people were gleaning with her. We don't know how many poor there were in Bethlehem that season. Boaz sees her for the first time, wants to know who she belongs to. The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." You know, our actions develop a reputation for ourselves. If you haven't learned that yet in life, it's a good time to learn that, especially my youngins. Little things we do, big things we do, start developing a reputation. Ruth is relatively new to Bethlehem, and she's already developing a reputation. First, the overseer mentions her loyalty to Naomi, how she came back from Moab with her. She didn't have nearly the level of obligation to take care of Naomi as her son would have had. Naomi's son would have had that clearly spelled out. He was supposed to take care of his mother in his old age. He didn't live long enough to do so. And Ruth, his widow, took that upon herself. And the Israelites noticed that. She remained loyal to her mother-in-law, even to the point of leaving her own household and her own people. The second, this may seem just like a little thing, but the overseer noted that she had made a respectful request. She wasn't presumptuous that morning when the harvest began, and she asked, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." And when you're looking for handouts, it's best not to be presumptuous that you're entitled to them. Even though the law of Moses specifies this is what's supposed to happen, she was on somebody else's property, somebody else's inheritance, and hoping that she'd be allowed to do this, but she asked in the morning before she began. But then up to that point in the morning, she had been a diligent worker all morning except for just a short rest. She wasn't a lazy worker, and the overseer had already noticed that. Big things and little things. Communicate our character and start developing a reputation amongst those around us. So Boaz approached Ruth and said, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." And Boaz, through this chapter, is just a picture of generosity. Overflowing, abundant generosity. And it starts from the first moment he interacts with Ruth. First, he says to her, "Don't go to anybody else's fields. You can stay right here." He wasn't sending her away. He wasn't saying, "You can have today's share, but tomorrow find somewhere else to go." He said, "No, you can stay in my fields all through the harvest. Don't go anywhere else." It was a very generous extension. Then he says that he's told to talk to the men and said, "You're not supposed to lay a hand on Ruth. Let her do what she's doing. Let her collect. And you're not supposed to lay a hand on her." And we forget that in those days there was no police force. There wasn't nearly the amount of protection in society. And Ruth was really just dependent on the good graces of those she was around. And since she did not have a husband, she did not have anyone who could appeal on her behalf. And so Boaz extends a measure of protection to her. "Stay with my people. I have told them not to do any harm to you." And then he also says, "Whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink of water from the jars the men have filled." You know, hard manual labor makes a person thirsty. And Ruth maybe brought some water along, but have you ever tried to bring enough water along for an entire day? You know, Boaz had his men that morning get water in jars, and they had it light up on the side of the field there so that when they were thirsty through the day, they could go get a drink. And this was water that Boaz's workers had filled for his workers. And he just says, "You know, you can get water whenever you're thirsty as well." That wasn't in Leviticus. That wasn't part of the law of Moses. Boaz was being generous to another level. He was looking out for other needs that weren't even necessarily provided for by the law. You know, Ruth took note of this. It says, at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she asked them, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? She wasn't walking in presumption, assuming that everybody knows how loyal she's being to Naomi and how much she sacrificed, and that's why everybody's going to be nice to her. She recognizes that she does not have any standing where she is at. She's merely a foreigner, a sojourner, somebody who does not have many advocates, any advocates really, for her. And Boaz responds. He replied, I've been told all of what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done, and may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Taking refuge under the wings of the Lord. That probably wasn't in the mind of Ruth fully when she was leaving Moab. She did say to her mother-in-law, your God will be my God. So she was switching her allegiance from the gods of Moab to the God of Israel. But that the God of Israel would be a place of refuge for her. That's the kind of God we worship. He's a God of refuge. Even a place of refuge for people who don't belong. Foreigners, strangers, poor, the widow. And Boaz has taken note of her actions, has heard about her and what she's done. The rumor mill of Bethlehem, I'm sure, was very aggressive those days. But he noted it and even blessed her. So she responds and says, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. Ever noticed how you can use your words to put a person at ease? Make them feel like they belong, make them feel welcome? And that's exactly what Boaz did. Can you imagine being in Ruth's shoes? She knows the customs of Moab, but she's learning from her mother-in-law the customs of Israel. So Naomi says to her, all right, so in Israel, when you're a poor and you're a widow and you have no field to harvest of your own, the Lord specified that we're not supposed to harvest the edges of the fields and we're not supposed to pick up any of the gleanings. So this morning you can go out to any field around Bethlehem you want when they're harvesting. You can harvest off of the edge of the field, and anything they drop in the field is yours to pick up. Can you imagine how awkward that could feel if this is not a standard custom? Like, my wife was experiencing one of these awkward foreign customs this last week in Europe. It was a hot day, and there was a lake by one of the castles, and They were being told by the tour guide, just go out in the lake, jump in, swim, you'll feel a lot cooler. And they're all like, okay. So Mark's like, I'll go to the bathroom and change into something to swim in. And he's like, just go behind a tree, go behind a bush. This is Europe. You can just change wherever and nobody cares about it. Things are different in Europe. And Jen's like, no. I have American students here. Some of them are boys. I can't just change outside in public. You can't do that because you've got too many Americans around. You know, foreign customs, when you're first trying to walk into them, can be extraordinarily awkward. So I can just imagine Ruth trotting out onto the field. First, she asks the overseer, is it okay if I glean? Like, make sure, did my mother-in-law give me accurate information or is she setting me up for something awful today? No, you can go ahead and glean. So she's picking up and just like, this is different. This is strange. This isn't how we do it in Moab. and you can just feel awkward all day. And then all of a sudden, the owner of the field shows up. Like, now it's really put to the test. Maybe the overseer was being generous. Maybe the owner of the field is not nearly as generous. But Boaz speaks kindly to her and puts her at ease. Such a welcome thing. It's like a glass of cold water on a hard day's worth of work. And she recognizes that Boaz is being exceptionally generous by even offering her the water that his men had drawn for her. But it gets better. At the mealtime, probably the middle of the day, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, dip it in the wine vinegar." And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain, and she ate all that she wanted and had some left over. And this too may seem like a small thing, but this is an added effort of generosity on Boaz's part. He's not just giving her the minimum. He's now offered her water. He's now fed her for the day. Who knows if she had anything to pack along and bring that morning, since the harvest had not yet begun. She and her mother-in-law had probably been very hard up for food in recent days. And Boaz invites her over, and she's got food aplenty. More food than she can even eat. She's got some left over, in fact. You know, when you've been hungry for a really long time, there's nothing like the sensation of just feeling content and full and finally having your hunger satiated. And having leftovers is even better. So then after the meal, she gets up to continue gleaning, and Boaz gave orders to his men. "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." And you just get the picture of Boaz as this day is going on, that he's just overflowing with generosity this day. Not only is he allowing her into this field, gave her water, fed her at lunchtime, and now he's telling his men, you know, the morning she gleaned a lot, but we need to up this a little bit for her sake. She needs to go home with a little more than she's going to get by the end of the day. So drop some intentionally. Like, have you ever told a worker to be less efficient than normal? We're going to be extra generous today. Don't rebuke her. Leave stuff out for her to pick up. So it was a really good first day of gleaning. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she'd gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. Anybody think in terms of ephahs? I had to look that one up too. An ephah is 3/5 of a bushel. I don't think in bushels either. So I converted it to gallons. Just about 5 gallons, a little shy of 5 gallons. That's a fair amount of barley. That's more than a person can eat in a day. So Ruth has just gotten enough food for her and her mother-in-law for maybe a week. And this is the beginning of harvest. There's more days going on. She carried it back to town. Her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over, and after she had eaten enough. Talk about coming home with food. You know, Naomi probably had some expectations that morning, and that evening she was wanting to see, how's this actually going to work out? What are my prospects in old age and widowhood with Ruth here? And her response is, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." We get the picture that she came home with a lot more than Naomi was expecting. It's confirmation of how generous Boaz had been. It was a good day. 5 gallons of barley. It was more than Naomi was expecting. I imagine that some owners were a little more efficient in harvesting their fields. There was not as much to glean. I imagine that some field owners would tolerate somebody gleaning in their field one day, but like, let's spread the load around. You can find somebody else's field the next day. So Ruth tells her mother-in-law about The one in whose place she had been working says, "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. Naomi knows him. She knows all the village connections." That's Ruth's one and only grace in Bethlehem, is that Naomi has connections. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "This man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all of my grain.'" She was invited back. That's a good thing. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It'll be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvests were finished, and then she lived with her mother-in-law. So this went on for several weeks, or a month or two possibly, through the barley harvest, through the wheat harvest, and there was promise and hope for Naomi and Ruth, because Boaz extended a very strong measure of generosity. They were going to be provided for. So once the harvest was done, they had to hope that they were able to glean enough for a year till the next harvest would come along. So Boaz in this chapter is a picture of the God we serve, who is just overflowing with grace and favor. And do any of us deserve the favor of the Lord? We don't deserve it. He gives it to us anyway. You know, Ruth did not deserve the overabundant generosity that Boaz extended towards her. She was not entitled to nearly all of what he gave her. Boaz, out of the goodness of his heart, just was extraordinarily generous. He went far above and beyond what the law required. Generosity in his heart. You know, today we have no shortage of poor, no shortage of people in need. Some of them are more closely connected to us, and others of them are foreigners, strangers, not from around here, have no connections. From time to time, we get an opportunity to be generous, to extend favor to somebody who hasn't earned it. We may not even know them, but they have a need, and we have the ability to fulfill. Just like Boaz had the ability to fulfill the needs of Ruth and Naomi that day, and he did so not just as far as the law commanded, but far above and beyond. He serves as an example for us. Will we do just the minimum, just the required amount, or will we go further? You know, we see this in our picture as a picture of Jesus, who was so abundant in his generosity. A crowd of people would show up around him, and he would heal every single one of them. I'm sure he healed strangers day in and day out. One time at the end of a long sermon, huge crowd is there, and he decides, "We're going to feed them." And he feeds every single one of them. He had not promised that to them. They weren't entitled to it. They had chose to come out, and whether they brought food with them or not was up to them. They could have gone out to the towns around to buy food. His disciples were willing to dump them on the towns around them. But Jesus said, "You feed them." But that even at the cross, Jesus' love and his generosity went so far that he was able to give of himself on our behalf. Gave when it came at a very painful cost to himself. Very sacrificial of himself for our benefit. Let's go and do likewise. Let's close in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this picture of generosity that we have in Boaz. And Lord, we pray that you would be welling up with inside of us a more generous heart. Father, we know that you are pleased with generosity. We know that you are generous, and your face shines on those who are generous with others around them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to be generous with all the blessings that we have received. Father, you have given us much, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open up our hands and our hearts, that we would be able to freely give, even as we have freely received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, may the Holy Spirit work inside of you and open up a wellspring of generosity. Amen.